You're listening to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Well, this is the time of year leaf peepers have waited for, fall colors eventually exploding across the countryside. It's been a slow fall foliage onset this year as temperatures remain slightly above average, allowing plants to continue producing green sustaining chlorophyll. But that won't last forever, and cooler temperatures are on the horizon. Joining us on Smart Talk today with a fall foliage forecast and a look toward the season that follows are Ryan Reed, Natural Resource Program Specialist with the Pennsylvania Department of Conservation and Natural Resources Bureau of Forestry, and Jonathan Guzman, who's a Warning Coordination Meteorologist with the National Weather Service in State College. I want to welcome both of you to the program. So let me start with you, Mr. Reed. Break down the regions of the state and where the fall colors stand right now.
Sure thing. So across the middle of the state, just a little north of State College and extending west and east from there, you'll find the best color currently.
Mm-hmm. What about when we can see it in the middle part of the state, say, from State College south and even in the south central, southeastern region of the state?
Yeah, I think that the coming 2 weeks should be nice for color. Certainly not this week for peak in those areas, but the following week, I think, is going to be the sweet spot for that.
So when you're talking, you're talking about after the, say, the 20th of October?
I think so. This week I have those regions in the yellow phase on the foliage map. And I think the following week's forecast should be in the orange phase. I think we're going to get a pretty nice cool down here starting this weekend. And I believe that should be the final impetus needed to really jumpstart fall colors. You know, fall color really is a lot related to the diminishing daylight, a response to kind of a lack of ability to go through photosynthesis and produce that food that trees need. And so if it's not beneficial to produce that the chlorophyll, then the tree's just going to shut that process down. And that's when these underlying beautiful other pigments shine through.
Right, we're going to talk about the weather conditions and the influence of the weather on the changing colors in just a moment. But on the Visit PA website, there's an up-to-date map of where the colors are. In fact, you referred to it when you said, I have it yellow in the middle part of the state. Is that a forecast or is that a current viewpoint?
Well, it's a little bit of both, but mostly forecast. So when I put out the fall foliage report, which is typically on a Thursday, it's usually the six Thursdays centered right around the month of October. And that particular report for that week takes into account that day, that Thursday, and then the following 6 days. So it's essentially a 6 day forecast and a single day present day situation.
So today is Thursday. Are you changing the map today?
Yes, sir. That should be out by after lunchtime today.
Okay, we can look forward to that. You referred to the weather over the past few weeks. The last 2 weeks in particular, the daytime, the temperatures have been about normal, although a lot of people say, oh, it's warmer. Well, it will be maybe later this week. But the low temperatures at night have been 10 to 15 degrees above normal. I keep hearing that that will have an impact on leaves changing colors. Will it?
Yeah, I think so. What you tend to notice with these elevated temperatures during this time of year is a noticeable delay in the onset of fall color. It can stall it almost completely and very noticeably across the state when we have this repetitive condition of abnormally warm temperatures, both in the daytime and night. But you're right, the nighttime temperatures in the last week have been very unseasonably warm.
Mm-hmm. And how can you make a forecast if you don't know what the weather is going to be like?
Like I said, the fall color really conforms to some other more important driving factors, and that would be the diminishing daylight. I look at the more immediate factors of daily weather, weekly weather, to drive what you would consider a snap in color. So if you would get, say, 3, 4, or 5 days of nice, cold, typical fall weather like most of us are accustomed to, you can expect that snap of color that really would drive color across a wide swath of Pennsylvania. So I think we're going to get that. That's one thing to look forward to starting this Sunday. There seems to be, I think, the cold front coming through. And it looks like the nighttime lows will be in the 40s. And I think that we're going to see a major push across the state for fall color. And I think we're in for quite a show.
All right. So that is our cue to bring in Jonathan Gooseman, warning coordination meteorologist with the National Weather Service and State College. Mr. Gooseman, is Ryan Reed right? I mean, are we looking for maybe some changing weather patterns here in the next few days?
Yes, Scott. Ryan's right on in terms of we've got the cold front moving through the state here Saturday into early Sunday. And as you mentioned and really touched on a lot of great points, our high temperatures really haven't been that abnormally cool or warm on either side of normal. Of course, we've had a lot of cloud cover across much of the state the past week or so. It feels like longer.
Yeah.
But the low temperatures you both touched on are really where you're going to feel the difference. And just to run you some quick numbers, at State College, at least, in terms of nights with greater than or equal to 55 degree Fahrenheit temperatures, we're actually pushing the record for that set back in 1900. We've seen about 26 nights here this fall so far where we've seen temperatures at or above 55 degrees. The record's 30. So we'll be close to that. And that encompasses November, and we're only through mid-October here at this point. So Certainly a cooler pattern on the way.
So up until now, what has been influencing, and I'll get into the clouds in just a few minutes, but those temperatures, those higher than normal nighttime temperatures?
So we've had a persistent flow out of the southwest across much of the eastern United States, especially the Appalachian region, up into the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania here. So that's really kept that warmer southerly flow going, warmer temperatures in place by and large. And then I know you said we'll touch on the clouds. It's really the nighttime temperatures have really been attributed a lot to that. But it's the pattern, if you've looked at across the western and central United States, just had a pretty good severe weather event out there a couple of days ago. And it's been much, much colder out in the western and western U.S. and Intermountain. West of the Rockies there. So cooler temperatures certainly spilling out this way. It's just the pattern in what we call upper level ridging or high pressure sitting off the Atlantic coast or eastern United States has kept that warm air kind of confined over our neck of the woods.
So I think here in south central Pennsylvania, it's been 12 straight days of mostly clouds. And what you're saying is that if we would have had clear skies at night, that the temperatures probably would have been lower, correct?
Sure. What happens there, if we clear out at night and the winds calm down, you get the atmosphere to kind of what decouple or basically settle, calm conditions. We can radiate all that warmer air from the day out into clearer skies, and that allows the ground and us to cool down a lot more at night. Really saw a good bout of that really last night across central Pennsylvania. This morning we had the dense fog in place, so it was kind of difficult to see outside of a quarter mile or so outside of your viewer range there. So as we cool down and lose that blanket that the clouds would provide, more that insulating blanket that they do, that really allows all that heat to escape throughout the nighttime and into the early morning.
Mm-hmm. So, Ryan Reed, getting back to the trees changing, the leaves changing, which species are we seeing changing now, depending, of course, on where you go? I guess what I'm asking is, which species are quicker to change and which ones are a little bit slower?
Yeah, so right now, the major changes that we've seen are the northern hardwood species. So I'm talking species like maples, sugar and red maple, birches like black birch and yellow birch, as well as some of the others that kind of mix in. But those are the main species. And I expect that many others will be joining in and have to really increase that palette of colors across the state. We generally see two main peaks in color. So it's the northern hardwood peak, which is the early peak that you find typically in early to mid-October on a normal year. And then there's a secondary peak of the oak hickory forest, which on some years can actually provide the best color if the northern hardwood peak is lackluster.
On the website, Visit PA, you can click 10 places to view changing colors. Where are a few of them that are, say, within a two-hour drive of Harrisburg?
Well, any time you take a trip out, say Route 322 up towards the State College area. I know a lot of folks like to travel up there for a Penn State game. Folks get a nice display of fall color on the way up to a home game there in Happy Valley. A trip up 81 towards the Pocono region will reveal lots of color. We like to recommend, of course, in the Bureau of Forestry to visit our state forests. We have 2.2 million acres of state forest across the state. Much of that is concentrated in the central and north central areas of the state in the Pennsylvania wilds. And you just can't go wrong visiting those areas. If you find an area that may not have much color, just take a short hike or a short drive and you'll generally find some nice color somewhere. And that is attributable to our diversity of trees that we have in the state. Like I said, we have a diverse forest community and a very wide palette of colors and species. And so this time of year, you'll generally find some nice color somewhere.
Okay, so let me turn back to Jonathan Guzman. We have about 3 minutes left. The long-range forecast, I mean, we're a few months away from the start of winter. We're only a month into fall. But is there a long-range forecast as what we can look for in the coming months in the wintertime?
Yeah, the Climate Prediction Center is who goes ahead and issues those. So they do them seasonal out to several months in advance. And really, even when we go beyond 1 week in the forecasting time frame, that's where they come in. So looking at what they've got out there, their new their winter forecast, winter outlook, and the rest of the fall long-range forecast comes out in the next couple of days. Should be by tomorrow or Monday at the latest. But so far, it's looking like warmer. Better chances for warmer than normal conditions here across all of Pennsylvania. And then on the precipitation front, that's where it gets a little kind of varies a little more. It looks a little drier by and large over the next week or two. And then as we get beyond that, it looks like odds tilt more toward above, or better chances for seeing above normal temperatures. But I'd like to remind folks heading into winter, even with the long range outlook being warmer than normal throughout the winter, there's a lot of smaller scale type indices and patterns that can really drive, you know, a sub 1 week spell of colder temperatures. And really, you know, if that equates to precipitation at that point, give us a more significant winter storm, if have you. So just make sure to stay tuned and stay abreast of the weather at all times. And, you know, it only takes really one winter storm to wreak havoc and make that the memory for the winter.
Now that is spoken like a true warning coordination meteorologist, I have to say. I want to go back to, and both of you can weigh in on this, but in the minute we have left in the program, saw a Washington Post headline, and I'll ask you about this. Washington Post headline, how climate change is dulling and delaying your leaf peeping. Have we seen a change in Pennsylvania in recent years?
Well, I think so. I've been doing the fall foliage reports for 5 years now for the Bureau of Forestry. And I would say that certainly 4 out of the 5 years I've noticed effects from climate change. One of the most well-documented changes related to climate change in our weather and climate here in Pennsylvania is increased heavy rainfall. Those are up significantly in the last 50 years. And what we tend to notice is that the wetter and more humid conditions drive more outbreaks of leaf fungus. And I believe that if you talk to any forester across the state, they would probably concur that they're noticing a lot more leaf fungi outbreaks throughout their forest that they manage. And those fungi can completely strip leaves off the trees and dull the color. We've seen a lot of that in the last 5 years during my reporting with maples. And there are many, many different species of leaf fungi, so it's not just them, but the maples do seem to be affected disproportionately.
Hey, I'm going to have to stop you there because we're almost out of time. I want to thank Jonathan Gooseman with the National Weather Service and State College, Ryan Reed, Natural Resource Program Specialist with the Pennsylvania Department of Conservation and Natural Resources Bureau of Forestry. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us today. I'm Scott Lamar. Have yourself a great day.